The government's Ebola response.
We don't have a lot of margin for error.
Death raises concerns about enterovirus.
Get a call saying he's having trouble breathing. We need to go to the ER like now.
Hands-free, but not trouble-free.
I'm not sure what you said.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. President Obama says the government's considering new options to take on Ebola, and that could have an impact on travelers. White House correspondent Peter Mayer joins us now with more.
The administration, Steve, is discussing stepped-up passenger health screening at departure airports and here in the U.S. The president calls it a top national security priority. He promises to pressure other world leaders to do more.
Countries that think that they can sit on the sidelines and just let the United States do it, that will result in a less effective response, a less speedy response. And that means that people die.
Mr. Obama has ruled out a blanket ban on travel from the Ebola hot zones to the U.S. And Steve, he keeps emphasizing that chances of an epidemic here are, quote, extremely low.
Well, now to Dallas, where an experimental drug is being used now to treat the Liberian man with Ebola. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is covering.
Health officials in Texas are hoping the experimental drug brincidofovir will help Thomas Eric Duncan recover. He remains in isolation at Texas Health Presbyterian in critical condition. Some good news, none of the people who are being monitored because they had contact with Duncan has shown any signs of illness.
Just mild symptoms so far for Ashuka Mukpo, the American Ebola patient now being treated in Omaha. His father says he might have gotten it while cleaning the vehicle of someone who died in Liberia.
He does remember one instance where he was helping spray wash a vehicle with chlorine and he thinks he might have been splashed, but honestly, he's not exactly certain.
In Spain, a nurse who cared for an Ebola patient who died has the virus, the first known transmission outside West Africa. Her husband is among a handful of others now quarantined. Federal health officials are trying to ease the fears of parents who are concerned about the respiratory virus that sickened hundreds of children around the country. Tabitha Vassie's son is sick, and he goes to the same New Jersey school where a four-year-old boy with the virus died.
Right now, he's complaining that he was still wheezing, shortness of breath. But it's getting better, but we have a long way to go.
She's waiting on test results from the CDC. A new report raises questions about the gadgets that are supposed to help keep us in touch behind the wheel without getting distracted. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
Researchers wanted to know if the latest hands-free systems distracted drivers.
Call John Doe.
Calling Donna Turrell at home.
Call John Doe?
The answer is yes, especially if the voice-activated system gets it wrong. University of Utah's David Strayer.
Where you have a system that's very difficult to use, is extremely frustrating to use, you'll be paying attention to that and not paying attention to traffic lights and pedestrians and other cars.
The study also ranked car voice systems on a chart where 5 is the most distracting. A Chevrolet with GM's MyLink system rated worst at 3.7. Toyota's Entune system was tops at 1.7.
The Veterans Affairs Department has fired 4 senior executives. It's part of the investigation into the scandal over long wait times for vets getting medical care. Congress passed a law making it easier to fire top executives. A letter is the latest twist in the Pennsylvania manhunt for an alleged cop killer. CBS's Don Daler is covering.
Investigators found the letter during their manhunt. A law enforcement source tells CBS News that Eric Freen describes how he shot 2 Pennsylvania state troopers on September 12th and then escaped. Officials say Freen has been living on tuna fish and ramen noodles. Police have been reluctant to run after the 31-year-old self-taught survivalist for fear of booby traps.
Freen has been spotted several times during the hunt. Police in Selbyville, Delaware say a 4-year-old girl at daycare passed out what she thought was candy to classmates. In reality, they were packets of heroin. She says she found them in her mom's backpack. The kids are okay. The mother is facing charges. U.S.-led warplanes have hit ISIS targets near the Syrian town of Kobani. It's been the scene of a fierce ground struggle for 3 weeks that's left 400 dead. Reporter Hermione G is following developments from northern Iraq.
Islamic State militants have managed to take 3 districts in the eastern part of the town and have also taken control of the strategic hill above the town. So the militants have made significant gains and have, for the first time, managed to actually enter the town of Kobani.
The U.S. Supreme Court takes up a case today about religious rights behind bars. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnato.
For the sake of security, Arkansas prison officials say Gregory Holt, a Muslim, can't grow a half-inch beard. The Supreme Court is considering whether this ban amounts to an illegal burden on the free exercise of religion. In this correctional facility and 1,300 others in the U.S., Prison Fellowship Ministries conducts Christian outreach programs.
Today we're going to talk about how Samson didn't want to take the advice.
President Jim Liske says religion can play a critical role in rehabilitation, and he worries this case involving a Muslim inmate will lead to limits on liberty and justice for all.
The first role of the prison system is safety and security. But in the vast majority of cases, it's not the religious liberty that's causing the problem.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Leesburg, Virginia.
An American and two Japanese researchers share the Nobel Prize for Physics. They developed long-lasting and energy-efficient LED lights. In Sweden, the parents of the first child born to a woman who had a womb transplant say they hope their story can inspire others struggling with infertility.
For us, it feels like we are normal parents with a newborn baby. Lots of happiness and love for this little boy.
The 36-year-old mother was one of 9 women to get a transplanted womb last year. She gave birth last month. Can't get enough coffee in the morning? Well, a new study says blame your DNA. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
Those coffee beans are in your genes. Scientists have known for a while that DNA can influence how much coffee you drink. But a new super study doesn't just confirm the 2 gene variants known to be linked to coffee consumption. It's turned up 6 more. The scientists say they're surprised that none of those variants seem to affect how intensely someone tastes coffee, suggesting our love affair with the latte isn't driven by our taste buds alone. Steve?
Well, it's 6 months on dry land for Olympic superstar Michael Phelps. That's the suspension from USA Swimming after his recent DUI arrest. Phelps is 29. He has been attempting a competitive comeback. A new study looks at young people, sexting, and behavior. Here's CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
Wake up, parents. The study in the journal Pediatrics shows 28% of teenagers admit to sexting. The same study shows the ones who engage in active sexting are more likely to move on to the real thing.
If a kid is more comfortable sending a naked picture of him or herself, he's probably also more likely to participate in sexual activity.
Dr. Jeff Temple at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston authored the study. He says parents who find their sons or daughters sexting can use it as a springboard to talk about the realities of having sex. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
New York City has scrapped a plan to install modern transmitters in old-school pay phone booths. 500 had already been put in to track people's movements and sell ads by sending signals to smartphones. In the about-face, officials said too much private information could be compromised. And that's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.